Mr. Martin, Real 19. We'll talk about your time in Austria, which you went to for about 2 or 3 months, so starting late May 1945. Were you aware of things like the black market going on because in Austria, in the area you were?
No. It was only a very small village, actually, and we didn't know anything about that. And we tended to keep to our own particular routine. I was the one who went out to visit farms and search farms and things like that. And anything in the black market, I would imagine, would happen in the village itself, and the other members of the squadron would be involved in searching the houses. So I wasn't aware of anything in that department at all.
Anything particular happened while you were there? I mean, you know, any incidents of note, or was it fairly
routine? It was comparatively quiet and easy going. It was a complete change of life. You realise that from the war and the action, the noise and the deaths and everything like that, and we get to a little village which is quiet and peaceful, isolated in a little valley, and it was another world. And suddenly we weren't there for very long, because it didn't take long for them to start reorganising the army on a peacetime basis. Now, we were a territorial regiment. The other two regiments in the armoured brigade were the Lancers, and we were taken out so that a regular regiment would join the other two, and they would all then be regulars. And we went from there to Milan.
And that was the whole unit?
The whole of the regiment, yes, the whole of the regiment. That would be about, I would think, the end of August, most likely.
And what happened when you got to Milan?
Well, we got there and we went with the intention of being internal security troops.
Now, what did that involve?
Well, we, in case of any civil disorder, because remember, Milan was a very large city, and there was a hotbed of communism there, and there were certain parades and mob wandering around at times, and we had to be available should there be any problems. We had armoured cars, and we had a squadron of tanks. We were stationed just to the south of the main central station in Milan.
And did you have much to do with the communist...
No.
Did anything happen?
No, there was nothing serious happening. We had to be available, and we had a presence on the streets should there be a very big parade. The ordinary Italian police, the police generally had a presence there, and they looked after it. But should it get out of hand, we were there just in case, and we didn't really have any major problems. We had guard duties in certain petrol depots and things like that. But the squadron I was attached to, B Squadron, when we first went there, we went to a little village called Milanino, which is to the north of Milan, and that was supposed to be our area. And we would be called upon, if necessary, to go into the city. But we would sit an outlying presence in the villages around us. But I wasn't there for very long, because once they got established in the city itself, they decided to start the pre-release education scheme. And whether it was because of my practical training in craft work, I was selected to take over the running of the education scheme. And this meant that I had to transfer from Milanino into the city of Milan itself.
You were still in the regiment, but...
Oh, we were still in the regiment, yes. It had nothing to do with an overall scheme. It was purely a regimental scheme. That was, in a way, the advantage, in that we knew all the men who were likely to come to us. And we didn't require a large staff at that time. I had a plumber, I had a joiner, and we had a couple of other chaps who did part-time teaching, like we had a photographer who ran a photographic class for those who wish to do a bit of photography. I was City and Guilds carpentry and joinery. That was my job, really. And I did building work as well, because I did the National Building Certificate. So I looked after the building side of the teaching. And the chap came 3 weeks, spent with us, with lectures and so on, and then went underneath. obviously from our own regiment, there weren't all that many, so it was only a matter of maybe a dozen chaps in one class and half a dozen in another.
So you were introducing them. You wouldn't have much time to teach them much in that time. So what were you doing, sort of just introducing them to the prospects of that trade, or were you actually giving them the basics, or what was happening?
Well, in the main, they were craftsmen before they joined the army, a lot of them. And what it was, I felt, was to get them back into a civil street routine rather than the army routine. Because remember, they'd been fighting, they'd had military discipline, and they were leaving all that and they were going back into civil street. We had less lectures by doctors and things like that, which I think was quite beneficial to them. And they quite enjoyed the sort of transformation from military life to the civilian atmosphere. I had a joiner who was quite a competent chap, and we managed to get hold of a school where there were tools and equipment, and those who were either already craftsmen when they joined the army went for the refresher course, if you like, to do a little bit of craft work. Young fellows who were only 18 when they went into the army who felt they would like to do craft work, they went for instruction in craft work. And that was a sort of general atmosphere. One or two of them felt they would like to do or learn something about photography. They joined a photographic class and they were shown the techniques of developing and printing and composition for the arrangement of pictures and so on. And it was quite interesting. I enjoyed it. I was in overall charge of that job.
And the men appreciated it?
The men did. They thoroughly enjoyed it, yes. They thoroughly enjoyed it. Because the atmosphere was more of a civilian atmosphere. You had coffee breaks and things like that. So that we tried to get it, as it were, a social occasion, as much as the training technique. And that was one of the other factors, the essential factors. It didn't last long, really, because the regiment disbanded in March 46. So we only had from September to March of the next year, sadly. And then we decided what we'd got to do.
Now, how was life in Italy? I mean, where were you billeted?
We were billeted in great blocks of flats. As I said, we were down just to the south of the central station, the big central station. It was a very nicely laid out boulevard with a tram track down the middle, and just below our whole block of flats was a great roundabout, and the roundabout was so arranged so that there was a set of tram lines going straight across, another one north and south, and there were tracks forming circles in this big roundabout, and it was very well laid out. The transport system was very good. They had these bendy trams, which was quite a novelty as far as we were concerned. The flats that we were in were just near the roundabout, so that we overlooked this roundabout. We had one great block of flats, which was the headquarters. C Squadron were on the diagonal side of that big roundabout in another block of flats, and they had their tanks in front of the building. We had the armoured cars, some of them in front and some of them at the back. And these were the two blocks of flats occupied by the whole of the regiment. The men lived in these flats. We, the officers, had their accommodation there as well. Dining, yes, we had the dining there, and there was across the road was a small hotel which was available to officers if they wanted to go. So it was very convenient. But as I say, it didn't last very long. By March 46, the regiment disbanded, and we got to decide.
How did you feel about the disbanding? I mean, you'd spent all that.
Very sad, actually. I rather felt upset by the disbanding of the regiment. I'd so enjoyed my time in the regiment, in spite of the war. It was a good regiment, very friendly, and it was a regiment I'd enjoyed serving in, proud to have served in.
Did you make any arrangements to stay in touch with people, or to join the old boys, comrades?
The Regimental Association, yes. In fact, I still got a card from one of the chaps, he was a tank driver for another troop leader, and he went to the Royal Scots Greys in Germany. And I still got his Christmas card following that same Christmas with fond memories of the regiment and the underlined, Brian Ross. And I still keep in touch with him. As soon as I got the book, probably she wanted a copy. He's a very pleasant chap, actually. And I'm keeping in touch with him, and quite a number more, actually. And for years afterwards, I went to the regimental reunions in Edinburgh. But when the regiment disbanded, some members went to the First Lothians, and they were in Germany. That was our first line, the reformed first line. Others went to one or two other Scottish regiments, like the Royal Scots Grays. Some of them who were very young and hadn't been in long, they had no option. They were sent to the Middle East because there was trouble in Palestine, which you no doubt know. I went with two or three more out of our regiment to the Royal Army Education Corps because my mind was set on teaching when I got home.
Was it Royal then, or did it become Royal later?
It wasn't Royal then, no.
So the Army Education Corps?
Yeah, the Army Education Corps, yes.
And which part of it? Did it have a sub-name, or was it just the Army Education?
Army Education.
And whereabouts were you based?
Well, first of all, we went to Perugia, to the university in Perugia. It's the University for Foreigners, actually.
So that would be in August. Sorry, March 1946.
March, that's right, the end of March, 1946.
And what were you doing there? What was your role?
We had about a month there, and you attended morning assembly, a bit like a big school, and you had lessons and lectures, and you had to give lectures, choose your own subject, and give a lecture on that particular subject. You had tutorials, you were shown the techniques of teaching, and remember, you were teaching adults and not children. So it was completely different. You've got army discipline to contend with because army rules and regulations still applied when they were in the schools. So all in all, it was a very busy but very enjoyable month. We went from Perugia. We made a visit to Assisi, of course, and had a look down there from an architectural point of view, particularly the press building, and the old buildings, the wall, the town of Assisi. We had the ground for the old buildings, the Christian archway and things like that. So we quite enjoyed it. It was busy, it was worthwhile, and we kept notes.
Now, were you being trained to be a teacher in sort of the practical crafts and building trades and carpentry, or were you being trained as a teacher for just sort of
for
generally?
General purposes, yes. And you were also being trained give lectures to the troops as well. That was another thing. The British way and purpose and general techniques like that. Not actually politics, but an overall move of democracy and things that were necessary. And these were matters that were discussed and we were sort of given talks on. I think when I gave my lecture, I gave it on building development. And the tutor for that, when you put down your subject of building development, I couldn't say, how you're going to carry on with that one. But I talked about prefabs, the soldiers going home, and with no building in the country over the war years and immediately after the war, how accommodation was going to be provided for them. But of course, I'd already got pamphlets about the prefabs that were being built, which had a limited life apparently of 25 years, supposedly, but they're still in existence today. It was on this basis that I gave my talk and lecture on building development in the post-war years.
So you were looking at the general educational syllabus, and background of society and everything.
Everything like that, yeah. Overall development. And be prepared to talk on anything to any of the questions that would come up from the chaps that you were going to instruct when you got the young unit. That was the thing. And as I say, from there, I was hoping to get back to Milan because I had a word with the chief instructor in the Army Education Field in Milan, and Mr. Milan, hopefully you might come back to us. But of course, knowing the Army, anything but that happens to you. And I found that I was posted on the finishing of my course, the 61st Infantry Brigade, who were stationed in Verona at the time.
And you'd be at the headquarters?
I was at brigade headquarters. I was promoted captain. They were all captains who became education officers.
And when would that be that you went there?
That would be April. I was in about May, probably. About May. End of April. Beginning of May. I arrived there to find that the brigadier who was in charge of the brigade was in fact the wartime colonel of the rifle brigade who were our motor battalion, which was very convenient because as soon as I went there, I hadn't changed my cap badges or anything like that to the Army Education Corps, you see. I left my Lothian badges up. And when I arrived there, and I was then to see him, of course, somebody could smart me. Good God, man, a Lothian here, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm your new education officer. He said, well, welcome, nice to see a Lothian around after all these months.
What was his name?
Brigadier Adrian Law. Brigadier Adrian Law.
Which battalion of the Rifle Brigade was it? I should have asked that earlier.
Well, it was originally the 2nd, but then it became the 10th. Became the 10th eventually for the last battle. They were actually our motor battalion, originally the 2nd, and he was the colonel in charge of them. Well, as brigadier, he said, now, is there anything you want, you've only got to ask, and I'll do what I can to get it for you. And I will say that he was most helpful. I said, as the regiments, there were 3 regiments, one was the Royal Sussex, another one was Cameroon, which was in a carpet, like the thing that the 3rd one was. They were stationed in outlying areas around Boulogne, and I had to visit them, you see. So I said, well, I need a truck to begin with to get round to these regiments, and I need some accommodation here for a temporary school and library and an office if I'm going to operate correctly. He said, I'll have it all arranged for you. So I got a truck. I had a big wooden hut with my library and office and sort of general studies room. We were at that time, as a matter of fact, in the Duke of our Austria's place, a big country house, gorgeous place.
So your office was in there, and in the grounds, yeah. And what about the library? Where did you get the books from?
They were requisitioned. They were requisitioned. And, of course, books were coming out. They were available because they were coming out from England for this particular purpose. It was a case of take what came. There wasn't much option, but you could ask for the book if it was available. You might possibly get it. They weren't in plentiful supply, and you just put up with it. And if you could find any round and about in the shops, you could requisition or buy them if there was any English books around. So we had that option. It was interesting in that chaps would come in to read in particular subjects, and they had a study room if they wanted to come in to write letters. In other words, it was a sort of a community office for them, and they took advantage of it.
Now, what about the visits to the battalions? What would happen when you went on a battalion visit?
Well, I would go to see the commander of the battalion, or rather the adjutant very often, and see if there's any chance of having a talk with the men. We didn't do much of that because one of the problems was that they were out most of the time, and the intention was to pay them an occasional visit but make facilities for them to come to headquarters if they wanted to use the library. That was a wonderful thing.
Would they have their own education officers in the battalion?
Yes, they'd have one appointed as an education officer. You'd meet up with him and have a chat with him and see if there was anything he particularly wanted and try and provide him with that, whatever it was. And also to go occasionally and give a talk if necessary. That was one of the things that we did. But there was a lot of work that had to be done by these battalions. There was a fair amount of thieving going on. And while the local police did it, the army were involved because we were trying to steal military vehicles. That was another thing, you see. Vehicles would disappear and they'd have a hidey hole to put them, and they'd come out and they'd paint it in custom iron. You wouldn't know what they were. And you'd got to be a rather wide awake on this sort of job. There was a lot of black marketing going on in that field. And this is one of the things that the troops have to do, to be on the lookout for vehicles.
And who was doing the stealing? The Italians?
The
or?
Italians, yes. The Italians. They got like the matter of it. The organisation was pretty good, actually.
And how did you get on with the Italians? I mean, when you're sort of liberating somewhere, it's perhaps a bit different from when you're occupying somewhere.
Yes.
How was the relationship with the Italians?
The relationship was quite good, really, I found. That they were very helpful, very friendly. There was a little bit in some areas of an element of, well, they would look after themselves. There was a little bit of black marketeering going on. So one or two of them wanted to muscle into this big business, you see. And they were making a reasonable living out of it. But we, as I say, were rather isolated in this big house of the Dukes. And we didn't see a lot of what went on. We had a group of German POWs there who were sort of labour force if we wanted any work done. But they were available should we want anything. And an example of what happened there, this was when we were part of a rear guard, a rear party. From Verona, the main party, the brigade, went to Trieste because there was trouble there with the Yugoslav rioting and so on. They went there and left a rear party at this villa. There were some wooden huts there, and there was a lot of piping, shower huts and things like that. And we got the German POW to take it all out and pile it on one side, ready for removal. Well, that disappeared one night. And the local Italians apparently nicked this. And when we went to the chief of police, his attitude was, well, the Germans took it, why shouldn't we get it back again? And the German staff sergeant who was in charge of the POW was furious. The men had done all that work, and it had been stolen from under the noses. And he wanted to vent his anger on the local population by taking an armed party and searching for it. So I'm afraid we poo-pooed that and told him to get back into line, and we weren't having any techniques like that operating in our forces. But he was very annoyed by the whole business. We were there, I think, maybe a couple of weeks sorting everything out, and then we moved away from there to Trieste. And that was where...
Where would that be?
Pardon?
When would that be?
Now then. I suppose we were a couple of months at Verona, because we were there for the summer, the Magnolia Tree for us. And then just after the summer, I suppose it would be about August we went to Trieste, August, September. We went to Trieste. Rather interesting, actually, because I met a German recently who had been in the Villa Mosella before us in the German army. He came to Chesterfield. And as you know, we're twinned with Darmstadt. Now, this chap, Hans-Jörg Gart, his name was, he was an instigator of the twinning between Chesterfield and Darmstadt, and he came to see me because I provided a set of slides of Chesterfield to be shown in Darmstadt. He came to see me and he said, "You're of military age. Where did you serve?" I said, "I was in Italy." "Oh, where are you?" "Oh, whereabouts?" "It's in Verona." "After the war," I said, "only casino right through." "Then it's Verona." "Oh, Verona. Where did you operate from in Verona?" I said, "The Duke of Austria goes to the Mosella." He burst out laughing. "You see, small world," he said, "I was there too. But before you, though," he was with the German army there, and they lived in this palatial building themselves. But it was rather interesting that he'd been in the same spot. However, we went to then Trieste, and we started again. Well, this was a school for the whole of the brigade, and there we did 3 weeks intensive education, had a staff of 8. We started in a house in the place called Villa Opportuna, which is on the hill above Trieste. I don't know if you know Trieste or not, but it's hills all round, it's a seaport. And down the hill, at the bottom, is the city. Up on the hill are the big houses where the people with money live because it's cooler. It's very hot down below in the summertime. And we had a house on the top, which was a school, and we had libraries and all sorts of things there. And then the brigadier said, we've got to implement the army scheme where they come for 3 weeks before they go home from the whole of the brigade. How are you going to arrange that? I said, right, I'll have to find some larger accommodation. So we found a place in Bassano, and it was a big country house, which the owner wasn't living in. So we examined it, and I went to see this chap, and I said, we want to borrow the loan of this country house for the school. Can't have that school, you can't have that house. I said, why not? He said, oh, 50,000 valuables this room. I said, well, the valuables can be put in one room and locked. We should look after the rest of the building. It's a school, remember, not a barracks. Oh, he said, what about a building? You mentioned another building which was occupied by people. You've got to turn them all out. And we were going to have that. I said, not. I said, we're not touching that. I said, if you don't let us have this one, we will requisition it. It's as simple as that. Anyway, we calmed down and said, well, all right. So we moved all the valuables into one room and locked it and closed it. The men lived in what had been a stable block where grooms and all the rest of them lived. It was a big place. And it was a very lovely place, really. We had a staff of 8, and it was a very, very pleasant occupation. We enjoyed the schooling. They came for 3 weeks.
And what did you teach them? What were you looking to teach them in that 3 weeks?
Well, basically, art, history, geography, maths, English. There wasn't much in the way of craft work. There were no facilities there. I was hoping to find a centre where we could develop on the craft work. But again, we were moved before we had a chance to get on to that. But again, they enjoyed the maths and English because obviously they got to go back into civilian life. Some of them wanted to be accountants, they wanted to learn accountancy, English, history, geography, art particularly they enjoyed. We had a very good artist there who took these classes. And they had general discussions, and the medical staff came in and had a chat with them, the brigade medical officer. So all in all, it was very successful. These were the chaps who came to stay with us. They were not involved in the, internal security in Trieste. They had no contact with that, whatever. They were in the school for school purposes. Obviously, if there had been riots and they had to be turned out, then they would join up with the rest of the brigade. There was no need for that at all. We moved after Christmas to Pordenone. That was our last move before we came home.
To where?
Pordenone. That was the last move that we went into as a school. Pordenone.
Is that in Trieste or is that another?
Sorry,
I don't know Pordenone.
This was another area. We had one or two minor moves, like to Gradisca and places like that, but only for a short space of time. It was only part of the unit, actually, because obviously there was a great area there, and you had one unit in one place, and we had to do a little bit of visiting. But the main area of activity was a school in Trieste. That was the main thing, and that was very successful. From Pordenone, well, we went to Pordenone, and that was where I decided it was time I came home. I'd done my stint, and I'd enjoyed it. And
was it optional, or was it not just based on when you joined up?
No, it was. Well, I'd already passed my demob date, but they couldn't get a supply to take my place. That was the point. They couldn't get a supply to take my place, so I decided I would stay on for a short time. I intimated that I was going to come home in May of 47, and I had a request from GSO2 Education to offer me a job in Austria. They took me over there to show me the area, and I was an area education officer. And bear in mind that at this stage, wives and families were coming out, troops who were regulars, you see.
So you'd have been area education office, a regular,